A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone.
Welcome to the Redmen Originals podcast. I'm Chris Pajak.
I'm Paul Machin.
That's Glenn Bloxham and Dan Clough.
You decide who's who.
Liverpool won an absolutely incredible game of football at the weekend, and we get to talk about it. Splendid. Yeah, we're going to get through that. We're going to be talking about Liverpool versus Sparta Prague in midweek, and a little look ahead, a preliminary look ahead to Man City at the weekend as well. Plenty of stuff, but a couple of things to draw your attention to before we dive in. If you head to axs.com and you live in the region of London and you want to come and see us live in the flesh on Wednesday the 24th of April.
That's everyone below Birmingham, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Just think about how far you travel for the gig and then add however much or less you care about us to that, into that equation. You know, like, there's people who travel from all over the world to see events. How much are you asked? We're in London, is what I'm saying. I did have a little complaint about this last week. It's flying now, so thanks so much to everybody who asked for tickets. Yeah, we pulled the fingers out. We're in Belfast and Dublin as well, which you can check out on ticketmaster.ie. I have no concerns about the ticket sales in there. They are absolutely stupendous, and we're going to have an absolutely magnificent time in there. We're going to have that in London, but yeah, if you want to go and get your tickets a little bit further out, so yeah, grab them. While you can, it's us and it's Keo, and it's just going to be chatting about how Boss Jürgen's Reds are, and then having a big old dance and sing. So great stuff. Right, one more piece of business before we get into the chat about inevitably about how brilliant Darwin Nunez is and how much we love late winners. We've got a competition prize to give away. Last month's prize was this, which was so aptly advertised by Chris Pajak. I have got no idea who this signature is.
Daniel Agger, he's one of my favourite players of all time.
What? He's literally one of my favourite players of all time.
As opposed to
Chris Robertson.
Don't slander, but Daniel Agger.
Wouldn't dare, wouldn't dream of it.
He's a good player. Anyway, yeah, we're going to do the draw for you to win this shit right now. We're going to spin the wheel of names and find out which of our legend tier subscribers on redmanplus.com is the winner. Should we have a little drum roll?
Be Chloe Bloxham.
King Main 75.
Okay.
Hey, listen. If it had an accent, I'd be all over it being King Mane, but it's King Main 75. Congratulations to King Mane 75, who wins that incredible Daniel Agger signed Liverpool 08-09 away shirt. This month's prize, in case you're interested, is this Liverpool home shirt, repro home shirt, signed by Karl-Heinz Riedler. So we got to interview him last month, hosted an event with him as well. Amazing fella. If you want to have not just a Boss Liverpool shirt, not just signed by a former Liverpool striker, but also an actual World Cup winning footballer as well, then yeah, get over to redmenplus.com, sign up as a legend tier or upgrade from captain to legend tier and get your name on the wheel of names for next month. Right, sounds like, let's get into it. Dan Club.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Forest nil, Liverpool 1. Just incredible.
Oh, just incredible, remarkable, all of the superlatives. Disbelief is probably the biggest one, because although I said to Chris this morning, like, you know, as you're getting sort of the dying embers of a game of football and you think, okay, has it been and gone now, you start to wonder and fear what the ramifications of a 0-0 draw away at Nottingham Forest might be, not just in terms of the short term and the coach journey home and how grim that prospect is. But, you know, title race wise, what does this mean? Do we need to start focusing our attention elsewhere? All those grim thoughts just start to creep in, and more fool me for doubting the Liverpool side for a split second, because it was just remarkable. The never say die attitude of those group of lads is just a joy to behold, it really is. And obviously, we'll talk more about the quality within that goal as well, but just the spirit and the character they show time and time again, just to keep fighting and keep tooth and nail for every single ball, every single second on the football pitch, not just minute, every single second matters to them. It's just remarkable. And the scenes, Chloe, the absolute, we were just engulfed in this melee of chaos. It was just mental. There was a person,
I never met,
there was an individual on the floor at my feet at one point. I'm like, I don't know who you are, but sound, whatever. It was honestly, it was just joyous, unconfined, unbridled joy. And like I say, it's even more, the let off's even better when, like, you think your chance has been and gone. We had that one flicked onto the near post with Murillo, and you think, okay, that was it, and the keeper somehow keeps it out.
It's a worldy, that.
Yeah, it's incredible. And they have a corner at the other end. We all know what happens after. I don't want to go too deep into that just now, but you just think, okay, and then the corner's off clear, and you think, this just isn't going to happen, and then it does. It's just remarkable stuff.
Sum up what that away end was like, if you can, please, Clem.
Bedlam. Absolute limbs everywhere, high pitched screaming. It was just.
It's just you.
Yeah, just me. It was just all of that.
Sounds
was
just like
me.
The studio.
yeah, like we mentioned there, you just grab onto each other and you just jump and you just bounce. People falling over at people's feet and you're helping them up and then bouncing with them again. And it was like, a lot of the time when someone scores right in front of you, you celebrate with them. But it was a case of Darwin Nunes was somewhere over a barrier here, and all of ours were just turned to ourselves. You just turned and grabbed anyone you possibly could.
Strikes
it
me a bit like
chaos.
You're like in church where everyone goes like peace be with you and turns around to anyone around
you.
About. Yeah. Except with more hugging, and more shouting.
Yeah, and then obviously people, you know, stand on chairs or, you know, bars or anything to get, you know, the crowd going, and it was absolutely magnificent because obviously, as soon as Darwin Nunes came on, we were all like, yeah, that's right. Forest fans start singing, he's just a shit Andy Carroll. And it was Danny turned around and went, gonna regret that. It's nailed on here. And then when it happened, for us to then in full course bounce and then sing it back to them as they fled the stadium in fume was unreal.
Yeah, I it was just a wonderful, wonderful moment. I've had people mention to it after the fact, because obviously I was on the watch along, and people said it wasn't the Alisson Becker moment. Like, it wasn't the Alisson Becker moment, which will be forever right there on the tip top pinnacle of a mountain that probably doesn't even exist anymore. But it was just something else. It was another one. You know, I think you both all ended up saying the words to a similar extent of like, they've done it again. Yeah. This is Liverpool have managed to pull this out again, and that's the thing, Chris. I don't want to sit here and say I knew Liverpool were going to win that game. That's not true. I just didn't think it was dead and buried. You know, I had to hear a final whistle to tell me it wasn't possible, because I've seen it happen too many times. Doesn't mean when it does happen, it's not one of the most amazing feelings in the whole world.
It's unbelievable. You know, it's hard to describe how they keep on doing it, really. It's hard to understand how they keep on doing it, certainly. I do have a slight problem with the celebration. I don't think in the midst of an injury crisis, kicking the advertising hoard in is the greatest idea Darwin Nunes ever had, if I'm being totally honest. That's just wild. I mean, but then that just shows you how uncontrollable it was from him, because he's just doing stupid stuff. And it's like what everybody else was doing. I mean, I jumped up, we fell on the couch, the three of us together, and then I got up and I just sat there with my head in my hands for about 2.5 minutes. They were there, and it's just disbelief, and it should never be disbelief, because this Liverpool side do it too often to continue to surprise me. But I'm so stupid that I am surprised every single time they do it.
Still, I mean, again, you'd have to be dead not to feel something in those kind of circumstances. It's just incredible. I think Jürgen was asked in his post-match press conference about, like, does it still feel the same? And he's like, yeah. Because, like, that's it. They're the moments, aren't they? You know, say what you want. And I wouldn't want that every week, because ultimately it would grow tiresome, I think, after a while. But, like, you take that over a 3-0 win. You know what I mean? Not like every week. You know, 3-0 wins are just the most pleasant way to watch football, because generally means that it's comfortable and you've had it all your own way. But, like, to just have a game, when you, because it's, I mean, Dan, part of this is, like, you're starting to write what comes. And I have it for me is that I'm thinking, is there any positive way to look at this? You know, the Manchester Derby was coming up the day after. Okay, it's still close. We still have City to play at Anfield, etc., etc. So yeah, you do. Your brain starts to shift away from that match and into what comes next. So yeah, that's what makes it so incredible.
No, it does. Yeah, like I say, those doubts have definitely just begun to creep into my mind. And yeah, again, they go out to prove me wildly inaccurate, because that's why we do it, isn't it? That's what we do it for. That we have those moments whereby I think, okay, this might not be the day, and then they produce something like that. That moment, seemingly against the odds, once again, where time has all but run out, and it doesn't feel like it's going to happen for you. And to sort of to spin off what you just said, that feels like we are building, we are writing this story. Like, you know, they always say the script writers. If you are going to write a script as to how Liverpool send off Jurgen Klopp, you know, ultimately it will be lifting the Premier League trophy in May at Anfield. Of course it will, but the along the way has to happen as well. And if that's going to be a part of along the way, like, we all reference back immediately to Villa Park when we did win the league, and it felt a little bit like that. I was fortunate enough to be there again for that, and it felt very similar into coming out there into the concourse. It all felt, I remember this feeling, it feels that significant, because if also the way Liverpool have done things down the years, certainly under Jurgen Klopp, tends to be in that sort of manner. We don't do things the easy way, is to use that old adage for Liverpool point of view. But and that was that again, because it could have been straightforward. You know, I think we could have made that game more straightforward for ourselves. We could have gone 1-0 up in the first half and then procession to a 3-0 win. But we don't. We find a way of doing it again, and that's just what we do under Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, let's go through the game itself then. We'll circle back around to the importance and all that kind of stuff toward the end. But it was a strange match. I was kind of saying in the build-up content, the pre-match shows, that it had a feeling of one of those games that we've almost forgotten about. Whereas like 2 weeks ago, it was the Forest game was really important. It was after Luton, it was looming in people's minds. The next Premier League game, you've got to keep things ticking over. But having gotten through the League Cup final and won, having gotten through the FA Cup game with an even weaker team and won, you're then getting lads back. I think that kind of changed perceptions a bit of like, well, we're through it now. And now we just go back to business of Nottingham Forest. And I was a little concerned about that, because what you had on the pitch was a bunch of lads who'd actually been running to the ground over the 2 weeks prior. And the ones who were coming back in were only, as we saw, able to come on and impact it off the bench.
Yeah, we looked a little bit tired in that first half, and we also really struggled to get in between the lines and between their midfielders. And, you know, coming away from that first half, the big incident I remember is the fact that Kelleher makes an incredible one-on-one save with Alanga. And that's what I felt coming away from the first half. It was we referenced this at half time with Joe Gomez, and Joe Gomez obviously played that six, and at times there was some really good, you know, 1-2 touches, these little triangles, but it's Joe Gomez, it's not McAllister playing that. And the problem you've got there is Joe Gomez is a defender, he's a centre half, he also plays full backs, and his first thought isn't to do these little triangles and step up into the, and receive the ball and move with it. So we tried to do these nice little passages of play, but Joe Gomez was just one step behind, which you can't fault him for, because his first thought isn't the forward stuff, it's the defensive side, and making sure that he's covering everyone else, where if McAllister was there, you'd have had a bit more of that. So yeah, it just felt like things weren't really going our way. We weren't creating loads up top, we didn't have many clinical chances. I think Diaz has one down the right hand side where it literally goes out for a throw-in, and Cody Gakpo heads one to no one in the middle of the penalty area. So it felt a little bit frustrating, but also at the same time you knew that with the players that we had off the bench, and also the fact that what Liverpool have produced in the last couple of weeks, we get better in second halves generally, don't we? So it was very much like a, okay, there's the base layer, yeah, and Klopp will have a word with them, he'll sort something tactically and we'll go again. And second half was much better, but yeah, like you said, that first half struggled a little bit at times, and obviously the big moment was Kelleher once again saving us.
It's quite funny because we weirdly got better yet got worse in the second half, which is a mad one. I want to stick with the Joe Gomez thing, Chris, if you don't mind. It's an odd game for Gomez. I said he had a good game, and he did, because ultimately he held his own at centre back, left back, and right back. And like, you know, just being able to be that versatile and put in a good performance is actually a better performance than you get credit for in some regards. But Chloe's point's right there. Things broke down because we were asking Joe Gomez to play one-touch passes in the 10 position. Like, shit happens. You know, there's a reason why people are defenders, professional footballers play in certain positions, and it's because Joe Gomez is not good enough to play in a 10 at probably any level, you know, of senior footy. Well, when you get down there, probably enough, but that's not on Gomez. That was the nature of where we were at. Bobby Clark had a good game, but he's not the finished article for us yet, and so a combination of fatigue and just a couple of lads being asked to go and do things above and beyond, yeah, we obviously weren't at our absolute peak in that first half.
No, I don't think we were, and I won't have a go at Joe Gomez, to be honest. I thought he had a good game, and I think I sat here last week saying exactly the same thing. Yeah. There are limitations to what he can do in there, but like if you're thinking Liverpool's attacking problems are the cause of the DM, then I think you've got something wrong, to be honest with you. I think, you know, the attacking problems stem from the front three not being able to get themselves in the positions. You can talk about how we get the ball there, of course you can, but again, it's not his job to get the ball into Cody Gakpo. It's not his job to get Cody Gakpo in space and, you know, get him on the ball. And you know, had Cody Gakpo decided to try and loop the keeper, we might have been 1-0 up in the first half, but he doesn't. Yeah. He heads it back across and stuff. So I thought, again, he put in a decent performance in the middle. Like, I'm not going to go to the best defensive midfielder display of all time. It was nowhere near it. But what you asked of him, he did. There are limitations to what he can achieve in that position. And we've not seen those limitations yet, I don't think, in their whole, because it's his second appearance at DM for us.
100%.
Mm. Like, come on, I mean, it took Fabinho 3 months to learn the DM for us. He was a DM.
Yeah, literally.
Do you know what I mean? It's really harsh to be criticising Joe for that, I think.
Oh, I don't think anyone is.
I'm not saying he's are, but there are people that out there that do.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
Limitations is the
way. Limitations is the way, but also, for on goal, he keeps that ball in play. He recycles it. He tries his best to get the ball back. So, yeah, look, like you said there, I thought he was sound. And actually, the further back he got put, I actually enjoyed him even more. And the fact that's a lad, if you asked me at the start of the season and said, Joe Gomez is going to play the majority of four or five games in 11 days, and I said he's getting injured somewhere, but he's not, and that's the best part of it. This is a spell that at the moment Joe Gomez is on, and I'm loving every bit of it. In the start, like, I'd name him the starting 11 if he could go again and again and again. Man City, I'm looking at him as a player who's starting that game because of how well he's done, and I'm more happy for him at the fact that he's got a run of games and he's at the moment not injured. He's been able to get through them and play brilliantly.
Yeah, I think the point is, and the point I'm making with the Gomez stuff, is that Liverpool, when at their absolute tip top in their attacking best, because we had a centre half who was gathering the ball, who was picking up the ball in number 10 positions, because that's how our midfield plays. Yeah. If we'd, you know, there were times where we actually asked them to sit quite deep, and I thought being more of an anchor role suited them, but naturally the play develops. And I thought the way we approached the game down in the first half, you know, we didn't have the clear cut opportunities. It wasn't a match of the day first half.
No.
It was when you watch you get a general sense of how Liverpool are playing by watching the game. The fluidity of how we played, I thought, was brilliant. I thought we at no point did we run out of ideas in that half, and that's a lot what happens a lot when you go against, you know, teams that defend for their lives. But actually, you find Harvey Elliott cropping up left mid, and again, Gomez will go with the flow and end up in the 10. You have Bobby Clark breaking into the box, you had him getting to the byline. Yeah. We had all kinds of them, they were just trying stuff, and that was really encouraging despite the limitations.
Yeah, absolutely. I was largely impressed with the first half display, to be honest with you. Though Chloe's right, the only big clear cut chance did go their way, and Keller does absolutely exceptionally well to keep it out. I thought it was brilliant. Bit of goalkeeping, as is proven in the past few weeks, to be honest with you, he's been unbelievable. But yeah, I was pretty pleased with our first half performance. Thought it was a little bit pedestrian at times. Could have been a little bit quicker, a little bit more accuracy potentially in the key moments. But Joe Gomez was really good. I thought positionally he handled himself brilliantly. I thought his defensive duties was absolutely exceptional as well at times. But his limitations, and again, come back to it, because there's a couple of moments whereby the game does appear to sort of open up in front of him. And if you do have Alexis McAllister in there, somebody who can play that key ball, that killer pass, maybe it's a different outcome. Because there's one in particular by it looks like it's on and he tries it and he doesn't quite get it right, and you think that's where you fall short with someone like Joe Gomez. But again, we know why he's in there. It is because of the circumstances, the injuries. Can players go again? We've only got Mataro Endo just back on the bench and all that sort of stuff, so fully aware of why he was in there, and I think he did a good job. And ultimately, you know, was it 4 wins in 11 days going into that game? Like, it was never likely to be a swashbuckling free-flowing Liverpool performance, and it was always going to be a little bit horses for courses. Let's just find a way to to get through. And Joe Gomez being at the heart of midfield is the epitome of all of that. Yeah. That is getting through it at the very top of its level, isn't
it? Well, that's it. Gomez, Elliot, Diaz, you know, McAllister to some extent, all gone to the absolute wall for us. And I mean, Klopp mentioned it's 5 games in 15 days. You know what I mean? As well, you know, which is a game every...
What they don't tell you with the 4 and 11 stuff is one of them was an extra half an hour of a game as well.
Yeah.
So we gloss over the fact that we've got to do 120. We've done 100 at the weekend as well, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That 120 was close to 150 with added on time at the end of half times and full time.
With like four and a fortnight to come as well. You know what I mean? With that
and
the amount
of running at full time, probably around the pitch. No one ever counts that in. That's not one of the sports scientists turn those little vests off when they get to the full time whistle. You want to be chatting. We want to be tracking that as well. No, it's right, and that's the thing. You know, the lad. It's not just getting through those games because we rotated for midweek, and you know, even more kids, and they all stood up and were counted. But it is just, it's minutes in the legs. It's great to have people back, but that's only useful when you can get them on the pitch. And you know, it'll only be useful when the lads who've actually done all the running in that time get to sit on the bench or actually have a week off here and there, which is not happening anytime soon, of course.
Ever
again. Yeah, between now and the rest of the season. Strap in for that one. Let's do go to Gakpo, Chris. I went to bat for Cody Gakpo big time post match because I just don't like how there's always got to be a player that like people don't like. You know what I mean? Or not just even don't like. There's always a small subsection of fans who have to be a bit too much and take it a bit too far. So instead of like, he's not in great form, or he's rubbish, and he's not good enough for Liverpool, and blah blah blah. He's not had a great couple of games, you know, for us. He's missed a couple of really good opportunities for us along the way, but he's a good player. This season's for a man who's got 11 goals in all comps. It's weird to say, but it's not really. It's just not been Gakpo's season.
No, I think that's right. My biggest issue is I don't think he gets himself involved in the game enough. Like, I can't remember which one of the games, you know, recently it was, but he completed 7 passes in 90 minutes, and like, that's not enough, to be quite honest with you. And you've got to find a way to go and get the ball, ultimately, haven't you? And I think it's a struggle because essentially we're playing with one of our front three in Luis Diaz for most of the last few weeks. And you know, Harvey Elliott, I think everyone will agree, although he will never ever stop working and he's still having an impact on games, he's just not that good at right wing compared to Mo Salah, and he maybe doesn't have the tools to be able to compete at the top level in that position. And I think with Gakpo and with Elliott there and Diaz just trying his hardest as well, it doesn't really work between the three of them. So again, it's not just Cody's fault. It is the midfield. It is the wingers that they're playing with. But he is struggling. And when he's getting his opportunities, it feels like he's almost trying a little bit too hard at times. You know, he's dragging shots. He's taking difficult ones on where, you know, it was last week, wasn't it, where he tried to hit it in the top bin when Nunes was right in the middle of the box. He could have just played a 6-yard pass to him. We probably score a goal, but it's just not working for him at the moment, and I feel a bit sorry for him. I'd love to see him get a little bit of a run at left wing, because I feel like, and this is not because of Diaz's form or anything, but like, he's so good when he gets the ball at his feet and he's dribbling with it. That's where I think his strengths are, and he's not being allowed to showcase what his strengths are because he's doing this sort of job because he's tall and he has got a good touch and he likes to bring players in, but it's not really suiting his game. He's just doing it for the team at the moment.
Yeah, no, it is. It's an unusual one for him, and there's obviously work to be done, but he's another one. He's played the price for being versatile and being able to be available when we've needed someone to go there for him. And he's just it's an awkward fit at times. We made that decision in buying him, and the problem is that there's always going to be a main man in most positions in that Liverpool team, and there's going to be ones who help out and fill in the gaps and what have you. And he's gone from being looking like he's going to be the main man to being a guy who's the bits and pieces and filling in. And I don't think stylistically he suits how we want to play. As in, he's not Darwin Nunes now. And he's a bit Bobby Firmino-esque, of course, but it feels like we've tried to move away from that. And actually, we said this before, Nunes is doing the Bobby Firmino stuff, and he's also being this like amazing line leading number nine as well. Diaz looks like he's back to form, so he's just an absolute menace every time he gets the football. And at some point, Salah's just going to walk back in and be Salah, but, isn't he? You know?
I think like if Gakpo's there and he's doing the Bobby Firmino job, then you want two wingers who want to get goals. Yeah. And we didn't have wingers on the pitch who want to get in the box and get goals.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really fit with who he is as a number nine.
Even Harvey Elliott, when he plays right wing, so often drifts into the midfield because that's where he feels most comfortable. He comes and gets, he wants work, Harvey Elliott. He feels like he wants the ball all the time, and he'll almost go to where the ball is. It's not a bad thing necessarily, but he's so desperate to be involved and to make an impact, he'll come inside and ask for the ball, which is a great trait to have, if anything. But you're right, when he's playing with someone like Cody Gakpo, who also wants to come deeper and help out the midfield, it doesn't become congested, but it doesn't bring out the best in anyone necessarily then, especially certainly Cody Gakpo.
Well, I saw people saying in the comments during the match, like, why is Elliott going off and Gakpo staying on? It's like, well,
fucking knackered.
Well, Elliott's knackered, but also Elliott doesn't score enough goals. So, you know, if you're banking on getting lads on the pitch, it sounds daft to come back to it, but, you know, he's just a bit more of a physical threat. He's nowhere near as knackered. And ultimately, he scored five times as many goals as Harvey Elliott has this season. So that'll be the reason why it is. But this is the thing. We're massaging our way through a trying period, and Gakpo is part of that. He hasn't, I don't think he's excelled in this time, but actually, you know, he's just come in. And this is the thing, when you've got Jadon Dans there, who everyone's just loves now all of a sudden, I mean, that's a nice kind of pressure, I guess, on Cody Gakpo, because there's another lad all of a sudden going to be fighting for his place, those minutes that he might get on the pitch. But Dans is a kid, he's got plenty of time to get it right. Gakpo's actually helped us carry the weight. It's just not in as spectacular fashion as like Diaz has done it or Elliott's done it.
I think the other thing as well is, like, you know, it's, again, it comes back to probably the 24-hour news cycle, doesn't it? These lads have been playing for 11 days. Why aren't they the fucking best yet? Well, sorry, it's been 11 days, and I think they're doing the training on the pitch, to be quite honest with you.
Klopp said exactly that. They've not trained. They've literally played game, recovered, played games. So, yeah.
So are we surprised there's been no massive improvement? There shouldn't be a massive improvement in them in 11 days anyway, just that they've had loads of footy.
Yeah.
It's trying times at Liverpool Football Club, and somehow we've walked away with four wins, which is, to be honest, that surprised me, that we got four wins in those four games. You're not supposed to.
No. And I thought, Chloe, just, you know, to get the win, we'd have lost that last season. I mean, literally, you know, we went to the City Ground, it was a miserable time last time around, but I mean that type of game where we were largely the better team, but the other team had a threat on the counter, and then, like, late corners or whatever, they had a Alanga chance, and it sounds stupid to say it, but that Alanga chance goes in last year, because that's just how our season went. You just couldn't fathom how things would break down, and all of a sudden we'd be level or we'd be a goal behind. And that was that general thing of things seem to be going more in our favour this time around.
Yeah, I mean, it helps when the lads are all sticking together and standing up for each other. It seemed like last year, some of them didn't want to be in the spotlight. Some of them didn't want to be on the ball because they were worried about the mistakes that they were going to make. Where, you know, this time you've got a group of lads who will go to the well to help each other out and to get over the line. They protect each other, and we've just got a different, you know, kind of outlook. We've got a different mentality this season. And obviously, you do need a bit of luck here and there to win the amount of games that we've won. But you need the hard work first and the correct attitude. And that's what Jurgen Klopp has instilled in every single player that's ever joined this football club under him. And that is why these players are giving everything. Like, you know, Harvey Elliott was exhausted after that Luton game. Never mind, like, 10 days later when he's just putting another performance on top of 120
minutes.
And he was
so pissed off. It was great to see when he was coming off, wasn't it?
And, you know, to have those players, you will just give that extra 5%. And this is the other thing, is they know it's Jurgen Klopp's last season, so they're going to give that extra 5% that they've got. They're going to dig even deeper. And it's great to see the mentality. It's all, you know, credit to Jurgen and that team, because that's a team that last year probably wouldn't have came over to our end after a 3-0. I think we lost 3-1, was it, to Wolves? And they did not want to be there. They went straight off the pitch. They didn't even come to our end of the pitch to thank us for going there. And yet, you know, on the weekend, that was a team that would not leave that pitch until they got us in absolute euphoria. And you could see it with Virg just saying to Nunes, look at what you've done to those lads. Like, he literally goes for the celebration. Look at them. Look at what you've just gave them.
Drink it in.
Make sure that you want that every single time you step on a football pitch, and, yeah, and hopefully we get that.
Darwin Núñez, Dan, he just makes stuff happen. You know, that's what he is. And, you know, I made, it was a, it wasn't meant as a criticism of Bobby Clark before, but this is the thing where there's, we've got players who are good footballers. We've got tons of really good footballers, and we've seen that in the last fortnight. But the true, the more special footballers you can put on the pitch, ultimately the more special moments you're likely to create. And it was just night and day from him not being on the pitch to being on the pitch. He causes, it's a bit of a tried and tested thing.
Chaos.
He causes absolute chaos and pandemonium wherever he goes.
No, he does. Yeah, he's high impact, isn't he? It's as simple as that. And certainly when you've been, you haven't seen him for a while, there was this sense, wasn't there? There was this feeling that, okay, we've missed you and now you're back. Like, what can you give us? Like, what can you... You've been away for a couple of weeks and you make up for that little absence. And he did. And then some. It was truly remarkable. I mean, the finish in itself, like, we've almost lost sight of how incredible that header is because of how much it meant and the pandemonium thereafter that followed. We have... kind of remiss of us to forget how good that the redirection on that header, like, it's a genius ball. The vision from Alexis McAllister and the wherewithal and the awareness to do it is top draw. But for Núñez, there's not much pace on the cross, I think it's fair to say, for him to get up. And he did it the other week, didn't he? Very similar type finish. The arc is his neck back like that, and to direct it into the corner is absolutely outstanding. But yeah, it felt like from the minute he entered the pitch there was a Núñez moment afoot, and ultimately there was. And again, I said it earlier on, like, write this Liverpool side off at your peril, but when we have special footballers, you can do special moments like Darwin Núñez. You're very stupid if you think something special isn't going to happen, and Darwin Núñez just makes it happen.
The shit Andy Carroll stuff, I just want to come to you, Chris, because we've seen fans chatting. You can spot clubs that have been in the Championship recently by what songs they sing, and that's definitely right up there. They've probably got a song about someone who's one of their own, I'm just saying.
Ryan Yates, yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, they did, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. It's the goalkeeper kicks for me, it's the keeper kicks when they go, ooh, I hate that so much.
Shit. Like, yeah, go ahead. But you know, Klopp was a bit annoyed with it at full time, but also, you know, he's kind of put it to bed or whatever. But it's like, I get it, because people only consume football these days via like social media, and they get this like the general things that they're most supposed to talk about. Or no, they haven't been paying attention. If they think that that's even remotely true, then more fool they, because Darwin Núñez is just magic.
Yeah, he is, and look, I don't care about the chance, and I don't think Darwin Núñez really particularly cares about the chance.
Sure,
and if he does, he's using it to fuel the flames, isn't he, at the end of the day, because it come back to bite them on the arse, and they're the ones that look stupid for singing it, ultimately. But if you think 25 goals and assists this season is a shit Andy Carroll, fair play to you. It's like, you know what I mean? I'm not with you, but, you know, he's to your own and all that type of stuff. And, you know, we keep on saying, don't we, if you know, what can he kick? Lads, he's kicked on. Like, these, where is it? Not, he's kicked on. Yeah, we've not even noticed. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do a deep dive tomorrow on Núñez and, you know, compare him to some of the seasons from Mane and Salah and Firmino and stuff like that. Spoiler, it's up there. It's up there already, and we've still got 13 games to go, or whatever it is. Who knows how many games we've got to go, really? Like, he's playing really well, and I think the midfield looked better for having Darwin Núñez on the pitch as well, because they had an out ball for themselves, and that is a difference between Cody playing the nine and Darwin playing the nine. All of a sudden, he could have had a hat-trick, to be fair to Núñez. Like, and again, it's not his fault that he doesn't. You know, but it's the positions that he finds himself in. He makes the job of the midfielders a lot easier because they know exactly what he wants to do.
It's also a case of that front line. Luis Diaz has got bags of pace, but out of Gakpo, Elliot and him, none of them wanted to run in behind on the half shoulder. And then when Darwin Núñez comes on, it's instantly over the ball. And remember at the start of the season, we were all saying they're not on the same wavelength just yet. Darwin Núñez is always offside, and is it the midfielder who's not seeing him quick enough, not doing the pass, they're doing it into feet instead of in behind where he wants to go and exploit the space. And as soon as he came on, he had a one-on-one, which I think he misses, and that's fine, but we're instantly, as an away end, going, there it is. That's where we're going to now get you. He gets another one where he's in behind, where he feeds it to Cody Gakpo. Cody Gakpo doesn't hit the target. He then has one near post on the left-hand side, and the goalkeeper doesn't have to make save, but it's the side netting. But they're all
Is that the header one from McAllister again?
No, it's along the floor. He's in behind. I think he does the reverse ball. Someone does the reverse ball, and then he's got the header from the corner, and then obviously you get his goal. So there was warning signs as soon as he came on, because we instantly went, right, lads, well, for, you know, 70 minutes you've had that to deal with, everything in front of you, now we're going to put something in behind you and good luck with it. He was superb, and that one off the line, which is an incredible save, by the way. At that point I just thought to myself, that's it, like, it just isn't our day, like, that's just what it felt like. And I feel like any other striker probably does feel that, but then Darwin Nunes just goes again and has another header. No, but
he's got that indefatigable spirit that so many of Liverpool team have got and have had under Jurgen Klopp, that it's just his job, he just needs to be switched on and be you know, he doesn't care that it's the 98th 99th minute, he's asked, the game's going, and while the game's going and the ball's in play, he's a striker, it's his job to stick the ball in the back of the net. But it's great that I think they could have gotten down and could have, oh, this is it, you know, particularly because the corner breaks down, you know. I think most people would have been fine with going to throwing their arms up in the air. Think back to Divock Origi against Everton. Virgil van Dijk absolutely spoons it up in the air and turns his back in disgust at himself. But I didn't have that, because you may as well say switched on. What's the point in not? What's the point in being down? Because there's still opportunity. And yeah, Darwin Nunes, he keeps doing it. And it's funny because we've almost had this Darwin Nunes section on the podcast every week for the last sort of 2 months. And, you know, sometimes he has a game where he'll miss like three massive chances and you just, you know, you're banging your head against the brick wall. But more and more, he has those, but he's also just delivering. And now he's got a bank of evidence, Chris, where he just delivers. You know, he's won games of football for Liverpool with his composure and his finishing in front of goal in all kinds of different ways.
Yeah, he has. And listen, the thing is, every top striker misses opportunities. And
Erling Haaland the other day.
Yeah, well, exactly.
That's one of the biggest ones. Yeah. You know what I mean? I back Nunes to score that, by the way.
Yeah.
but it's true, isn't it? And how is your head going to drop when you miss an opportunity? Is your head going to drop? No, not for Darwin Nunes. He's going to continue to fight, just like everybody else in this side does, and he's going to continue to impact games of football. Whether you like him or you loathe him, the stats are speaking for themselves at the moment. And Darwin Nunes deserves to be talked about every single week, because every time he plays, he is having a huge impact on the game of football. Whether it's him scoring or the team winning, makes no odds to him. Makes no odds to us. We're enjoying watching him. The end's enjoying seeing him. You know, I bet that Nunes straight after he scored was one of the loudest that's ever been done. That's what you want as a football fan, isn't it? You want someone you can get behind, who tries hard and who scores goals.
Yeah, perfect. And I saw John from Red All Over the Land tweeting, he's like, Eric Meyer only scores goals. I was like, nah, I'm not having that. Like, you know, I get the notion of he was, you know, cult hero kind of status. You know, there's something there to buy into him because he's a bit mad and he's a bit weird and he gives you feelings. But Darwin Nunes, I've said before, he's box office. He's the kind of footballer that makes paying the money that you pay, the extortionate money that you pay to get into football grounds. He's the one of those type of players that makes that worthwhile, because honestly, he creates drama, he creates twists and turns, he makes things happen. And whether that's he misses a chance and you've paid your money to be an away fan, or you know, at the other end and you get to laugh at him, you know, there's something about him. He's like great art. He makes you feel feelings whenever he takes to the football pitch, and he's crazy. And big credit, actually, understated credit, because we're going to talk McAllister in a second and his assist, and Gomez for getting the corner. Huge credit to Jadon Dans for dragging Darwin Nunes away from continuing to kick the shit out of the advertising horn. And he's about to go head over
to it. I think he was dragging away from Luis Diaz, to be honest.
he was about to go head over it, and Dans just went, yeah, there's an 18-year-old kid coming to the rescue with Darwin Nunes. Brilliant. It takes him to 25 goal contributions in all comps of the season, 14 goals, 11 assists, which is absolutely super for what is effectively our, you know, second choice, our second top goal scorer. Not our main man. Salah remains our main man, but very, very encouraging stats in that regard. I think that takes him to double figures in the Premier League as well. I think he's on 10 now as well. So yeah, I think I saw something, he gets a goal or an assist every 88 minutes in the Premier League, which is
Impact.
Impact.
Should
indeed.
Mention Virgil van Dijk for the goal as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Pushes the lad to the defender, so yeah. Nunes stays onside.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of this. I mentioned it briefly on the final word before. I don't think it's so that he stays onside.
But it works.
It works.
I think was it Tottenham that did that to us? Someone did that to
Tottenham
us.
Yeah, Tottenham, yeah. Like, you see it more and more. I think he was just creating space for himself. If the ball comes into him. But let's not split it.
Call it a happy accident. Sorry, Chloe. If you haven't, by the way, watched this, and if you do agree that it was a fabulous goal from Darwin Nunes, do drop a like on the video. That would always help. And we've got a code in celebration of the 99th minute goal by Darwin Nunes. We're offering a month of RedmenPlus.com for 99p. Go to RedmenPlus.com and use the code Chris.
Nunes.
And get a captain subscription for 99 pence for a whole for the first month. So yeah, get involved with that one. Go on, Chloe, what were you gonna say?
She forgot.
Forgot, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, he looked at me.
What was we talking about?
Let's talk Alexis McAllister.
Oh, that's what I was saying.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, wasn't it Burnley where Salah gets lobbed offside?
Yes. And in the line of a goal.
Yeah.
Burnley.
That's what we were going on about.
Yeah. We'll come on to strange officiating. In fact, should we do strange officiating decisions and inconsistencies or shall we say consistencies? I loved Jurgen Klopp's response to the whole drop ball gate that's happened as a postscript to this. In that, say, he just went, the same thing happened earlier on in the game.
We were livid.
And on the flip. So, yeah, we fell foul of the referee doing the same thing. So whether it's the rule or not, he delivered the rules consistently. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll do for
me. Having credence to it evens itself out.
Yeah, someone told me that as soon as Luis Diaz's goal was ruled offside, when it was very much onside. So now I'm just telling everyone to get on with it now.
The fallout is mental, though, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
It's wild.
I mean, Mike Dean.
I know.
Jermaine Genius. Yeah. Alan Shearer. What are they all fucking doing?
The best part, though, is the fact that, like, Nottingham Forest fans are calling us cheats. You're about to get done.
I forgot Clattenburg for fucking Forest.
Yeah, they've employed him.
Referees.
Analysis or something.
Oh, what are you fucking doing, lads?
Yeah. I seen a Man City fan.
Complaints to PGMOL. Ready.
A Man City fan on Twitter said, if Liverpool win this league, it'd be the most corrupt Premier League ever. Yeah. A Man City fan. Use the word corrupt.
That term, I need to take umbrage with this because I mean I even mentioned there's a potential of it on the watch along, but it's the new buzzword. Everyone, like, not everything can be corrupt at all times.
If it's not corrupt, it's a cartel, though.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, close shop. Pull the ladder up and all that. I thought the Jermaine Genius stuff was fucking hilarious on Match of the Day because it's just, and I'd forgotten, but as soon as it cut to him, I was like. Yeah, I think he played for Forest, didn't he? Like,
Gary Lineker literally says, I know you're a Forest fan, Jermaine, but what did you think of it?
Well, he basically, to paraphrase, he goes, Jermaine Genius, you're a Forest fan who feels aggrieved about this. Shit, that wasn't it. And he goes, yeah, it was shit, actually. Yeah, because Forest didn't get the points that we could have done if that hadn't happened against us. And I'm not happy about it. Anyway, great. Let's move on with the next game. Fuck off. Like, I mean, I understand that we like a bit of, like, partisanship, you know, and because it adds to the flavour when people have got that passion for it. Like, Shearer is an absolutely brilliant pundit unless Newcastle are involved, and he just becomes an emotional mess around it all. Same with Gary Neville and the Manx.
At least Shearer gave us our flowers.
Yeah.
Like, at the start, he goes, like, listen, you can't take anything away from Liverpool, but... And then he goes into it, and they just lost their heads about it all. And listen, I really do hate sitting here and talking whataboutery and stuff like that, but it's classic. Like, we literally got one in the first half.
Yeah.
There are so many decisions that are wrong throughout the course of a game anyway. Like, I think back to the Elanga chance we've mentioned a couple of times. Offside.
Yeah.
Should have been a free kick. We might have been 4-0 up had we got a free kick there. You just don't fucking know offside and doors moments.
I am
it
not
was two
being,
minutes yeah. before the fucking thing. The ball went out of play twice. They had the ball. They had a chance to clear a corner. You didn't do anything with it, lads.
I'm not having Jermaine Genius explaining the butterfly effect to me just on Match of the Day. Sorry. I'm not having it. They could have gone on and done this. Yes, Jermaine. But by that exact logic, Liverpool could have scored two perfectly good goals if that had happened. That's just, you know, they could have built, it could have. Yes, they could have, would have, should have, mate. It's fucking horseshit. That's... Oh, yeah.
The other problem with Match of the Day was like, if you're gonna do it, at least include where it happens in the first instance as well, in the first half, where it's against Liverpool. Because I remember that happens and their goalkeeper goes down.
It's the keeper, yeah, yeah.
And where our end is an absolute uproar, because they've tried to clear this ball and we've got it on the edge of the box. And it's like, no, actually, it's going to go all the way back to the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And we, at that moment, we put them under a little bit of pressure. We were having an all right spell. And the fact that actually they just didn't even show that at all. And then obviously they show one like angle of what happens, and look, it might be incorrect, but he got it incorrect in the first half as well.
Does Konate get kicked in the head in the build up to this as well, by the way?
He gets a foot in the head by one of the
players. It's a high foot either way, whether he makes contact, I'm not sure.
Keller catches him a little bit, but yeah, you're right, ultimately he gets it wrong twice, that's the problem. And we were fuming with the first one, because we knew as he was dropping the ball to keep his feet, we were going, well, that can't be right. Yeah. I think McAllister had the ball sort of 25 yards from goal, and we were like, surely that's ours. And then in the build up to him doing it for the second goal, which subsequently leads to our goal, in the second half, sorry, subsequently leads to the goal, we were all thinking, I hope he does it the other way around now. And he did, and we were like, okay, sound, they evened yourself out, and then what happened?
Well, how many times during the course of a game have you seen the ball flick off our player and we've been given a corner, or the other way around? They get decisions wrong 10, 15, 20 times a fucking game, and no one's got the uproar. No one's putting a mic in front of Mike Dean. What did you think about that throwing, Mike?
Exactly.
Shouldn't it have gone to Liverpool?
Yeah.
No one gives a shit.
The beauty of this is we've now got Forest fans saying Paul Tierney was in favour of Liverpool. Paul Tierney. Maybe Paul Tierney should never referee a Liverpool game again.
I would back that.
I think we're all fine with that.
Unity with Nottingham Forest fans. Yeah, solidarity with my brothers and sisters.
It's mad though, the amount of like uproar, because we had a perfectly good goal this lad and there wasn't this much uproar. Like, if you all just would have came together for that, maybe we don't get that ball, this late on in the season, if everyone just collectively fumes at that moment that Lewis
Diaz... What if we just replayed that game? By the way, we had an extra 35 seconds of the minimum 8 minutes of added time.
After they had two players yellow carded.
Yeah, exactly. All time wasting.
Yeah, unbelievable. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Laughable. Delicious.
Honestly, it's just fucking stupid, to be honest with you, at this point.
Alexis McAllister quietly, Chris, going about the business of being absolutely brilliant for Liverpool.
Strong disagree. It's not quietly. He's fucking marvellous. Absolutely marvellous. He's just getting better and better every week. Virgil van Dijk has carried this side over the last couple of weeks with some massive goals, but Alexis McAllister has been there as well, hasn't he? A couple of assists against Luton, obviously a brilliant assist there. Whether he's playing the 8, whether he's playing the 6, he is absolutely excelling at the moment. And I was chatting to Dan, I was saying to Dan this morning, I wanted to bring this up on the podcast because I think quite rightfully you've said for years now, you talk about the strength and the athleticism and tall midfielders and stuff like that. Jürgen Klopp booked his own trend with Alexis McAllister, didn't he? And there's a reason that he's booked his own trend. This is a guy in there who reminds me in some ways of Xabi Alonso, in that one in the middle of the park. He has time and space all of the time in the most congested area of the field. The ball that he plays through for Jadon Dans to whip it out to, is it Tsimikas or Harvey Elliott? He's outstanding and he's seeing the game now, and I think he's better for having sat back and played the 6 a little bit. I think he understands what a 6 needs from him in this system. And when everything else is on fire around him, Alexis McAllister just seems to be calm and composed and able to produce.
Yeah, absolutely sensational stuff. All the best stuff has got his fingerprints all over it, Dan. There's a chance that Luis Diaz has in the first half when he gets in behind, he makes a nice little run to McAllister who plays that. He's winning balls back in midfield and setting off counter-attacks. He's just, he's got all that. I get the Alonso thing. He's doing the things I think we were hoping Thiago was going to be able to deliver for us on a consistent basis as well. He's a sensational footballer. Sensational.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's omnipresent at the minute across everything good about Liverpool Football Club. He's just, and it's everything as well. And I think Chris touched on it there. He seems to me to have benefited from playing a little bit deeper. Obviously, he's a soul sick. He did a little bit in the double pivot at Brighton, but it feels like he's got better and better as his Liverpool career's gone on in terms of the way he's playing the game, whether that's understanding the system, understanding what's required as well, but just in terms of individual performances, because he doesn't shirk any of that defensive responsibility either. He doesn't relinquish that. While even though he's playing the more advanced role now, and he is very much dictating the play. And a lot of what is good about us is going through him, and his vision, his awareness, his presence of mind, and what's around him is just absolutely top class. I agree. He feels like he's always got time, and that's such a great trait to have. If you never look like you're under pressure, and you can, his use of his body as well is exceptional. He shrugs people off time.
A bit like
Genie,
the way he gets his body.
Yeah, he does.
And,
yeah, he gets his arse in, doesn't he? Yeah, and people can't get the ball off him, and it just feels like it sticks to him at the minute. And honestly, just a joy to watch right now. He really is. And it's that combination. He's got that flair, he's got that creativity, but he's also got that work rate and the work effort, and he's got the ability to pull it all off as well.
That's massive, the work rate stuff, Chloe, because funnily enough, I was chatting to my dad about this morning, about like Jürgen Klopp came in and he found this team, and he needed to go and put together a bunch of lads who just wanted to run through brick walls. And then this second team has that, but also has this incredible technical ability on top. So McAllister has got all the hallmarks of a classic Klopp midfielder, except he just happens to be this Argentine creative genius with the ball at his feet as well. So yeah, in many regards, as much as yeah, I agree, he bucks the trend of us getting these 6 foot sort of angry giants in our team. He's got the gnarl, he's got the determination to add to sort of the silken style that he brings as well.
Yeah, he does. And I mean, like you mentioned there, there's times in that game on the weekend where he receives a pass, and it's not the greatest pass. He's got a man instantly on him, and he uses his body, and he gets his body between him and the ball and the man, and he gets around him, and then we're free to go. And you know he's got that killer instinct to put in a pass, and he was absolutely everywhere. The fact that, you know, he's the one who intercepts the ball, and look, Nottingham Forest do absolutely horrific from that corner, just oof it up the pitch and he's fine there. But he's still there, the little swivel on the ball, all of us in that other way, and it's like, just put it in the box. But he's got the calmness to turn a player and have a little bit of vision and dink it back post. Like, the calmness is outrageous. So yeah, he's got absolutely everything, the work rate. He's also an Argentinian, which I absolutely adore. Like, Mascherano, hard as nails, and Maka, even though he's small, you get that same feeling. I mean, I swear, you know, when Spurs beat us, he was in Romero's comments, who he's won a World Cup with, absolutely having goes at him as well, which you love to see. And the funniest thing has come out of this weekend is Jürgen Klopp on Inside Anfield, where it's McAllister and Dominguez. Dominguez has just lost in the last minute of a game. Argentinians catching up. And Klopp walks between them and goes, "Wonderful player," and shakes McAllister's hand and says that to Dominguez, and then goes, "Muy bien."
I'll have to watch that. I've not seen it. Is it good?
On Twitter now, it's really good. Yeah,
that's
stuff.
Class.
Chris, it's up there with the best, but what else in terms of that feeling, the late winner, you know, of the many late winners, what else comes close?
Obviously Everton, like, you know what I mean, that's the pinnacle of it, isn't it? I think for some reason Newcastle at home last season really always tugs at the heartstrings.
Spurs 4-3,
yeah. It's unbelievable how many we've actually had, really, isn't it?
Yeah, genuinely. The one I got, and you guys might be able to attest to this, having been in the ground, I got Aston Villa away, title-winning season, big time away, from that. Like, that, they're the ones where, and particularly because there's a potential point swing occurring, you know, where we could have lost out, City could have gone top of the table on the Sunday if we'd not won that. Just to find that way to sort of dig deep, historic away ground, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I had proper Villa vibes. Yeah.
The significance of it as well. Well, the potential significance of it, should I say, as well. It felt massive because, as I say, those nasty, nasty thoughts began to creep their way into my mind of what this might mean, further impacting the league, the title race for City to come and all that sort of stuff. So to do it in the manner that we did make it feel that extra bit special. And we've had massive late winners, and they ultimately may or may not go on to mean anything. Obviously, the Villa one did. But Newcastle early on in the season, obviously with Darwin Nunez later on, that felt massive, but it didn't mean as much in the title race. So for me, this one on the weekend was right at the top. Although I was lucky enough to be the Origi Everton one as well, and the manner of which that is just will never be beaten. It's a joke.
It was just stupid. That one, wasn't it? Absolutely stupid. Just brilliant. I think Dan has said this really well there, Claude. We don't know how significant this is yet, but I can't help but feel if this ends up being a season where Liverpool do win the Premier League, this will be the game. You know, obviously it'll help if we beat City and people will remember those more, but I'll Aston Villa, you know, Liverpool won 27 games on the spin or whatever in that season, but that felt like the one. This this feels like the one.
Yeah, it does, because, you know, it feels like the lowest of lows, coming away with just a point from Nottingham Forest, who are struggling, and, you know, still could go down. You don't want to drop points to a relegated side, especially. Especially with the way their fans were, you know, the sign-on chants, all of that, it really makes it even sweeter to win in the way that we won. But, yeah, like you mentioned there, this is a side that, look, it's now in our hands in terms of the weekend. City didn't drop points either, and now it's a massive clash. But you're going into this bouncing, and you're going into this going, we've just scored a last-minute winner. Like, yeah, you used one on Derby Day, but you didn't win in the same way that we've won here.
Forest are better than
the United.
Yeah, yeah, it's all same. Can I just say, sorry, they went for 20 minutes, the Vukovic game was like Pele. What was going on there?
That left footer from distance.
It was a joke. He was holding people off. He was big. Oh, mate, it was a joy to watch him.
Auxiliary right back, digging in.
Joke. Sorry.
I turned round to you and went, I know he won like one of games and scored massive goals, but was he ever that good in a 30-minute period?
We should probably look at signing that right winger, you know.
Everything about him was just imperious for a bit. He tailed off then, thankfully, but he was untouchable for 20 minutes there.
Tell you what, if Marcus Rashford had his work rate, what a play. Right, we've got a couple of super chats and comments and whatever coming while we were having those fun old discussions. Ashley Frith says, this weekend there was another Made Special, nearly at the levels of Alisson Becker moments. What a team, what a manager, what a club. Yes, indeed. Not quite at the Alisson Becker levels, but understandably so.
Shirts were on.
Look, the shirt wasn't coming off for a win in that environment. The fucking goalkeeper scored the winning goal. You know what I mean? And we'd been locked in a room watching football all season by that point. I'd lost the plot. all about that. I'd like to big up Chloe. Her raw and authentic post-match content has been a joy to behold. Redmen signed an absolute gem getting Chloe on the team.
Thank you.
There we go.
Comments about me and Dan next. Just you. Okay, fine.
No.
Okay, fine.
I'll text my dad now.
Yes. It's my birthday today, same day as King Kenny. The Ev and the Manx losing on the same weekend that we win in that fashion was all the birthday presents I needed. Have a tenner. Love from Rumble.
Oh, that's lovely. You could have asked for a fucking Man United win as well, though.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. Congratulations. Right, cool. Yes, we will return very, very shortly indeed. We're going to have a short break and then we're going to be chatting Prague and City. Hey, all you wonderful people, we've got an amazing competition prize for all of the Legend tier subscribers on Redmen Plus this month. I was lucky enough to interview former Liverpool striker and World Cup winning German superstar Karl-Heinz Riedler and get him to sign this little beauty. Oh yes, look at it. It's a sensational shirt anyway, but it's got Karl-Heinz Riedler's name on it, and you can win it by being a Legend tier subscriber on Redmen Plus by the end of this month. And yeah, your name will be in the draw to win this. Look at that. Wonderful. And it can be yours.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Yes, Yes, get involved. Head to redmenplus.com, sign up as a legendary subscriber and get your name in the draw for the Carlines Riedler shirt. And don't forget, we got a code running. If you want to try a captain subscription for 99 pence for a month, use the code Nunez. It won't get you in the draw for that competition, but it will give you a good old feel around everything else that we're doing. And I don't know whether you've realised this, but the Reds are absolutely amazing. So everything that we're doing right now is just... I mean, it's normally amazing, but the Reds are actually helping it be absolute gold. So yeah, get your fill of Redmen podcasts and documentaries and features and all that good stuff as well. Right, cool. There's another game of football. Chris Page, Ajax, Sparta Prague, the Europa League, another day, another week, another competition, another game where we haven't got loads of fit lads available, maybe one or two more. The best thing about this in some regards is... it's two legs. And I know everyone's going to want us to keep it going. And, you know, you've got to win and win and win and win and win. And you'd like to go into City bouncing with loads of optimism, having had another win. If Liverpool just go and do a classic European away performance here, and I mean 0-0, win 1-0, or worst case scenario, lose 1-0. Honestly, as long as we've got the legs for the weekend, then that's how you construct your way through.
This was always going to be... a tough one, wasn't it? We said it when we drew them. The distance that you've got to travel as well is you know, a little bit further than we probably would have liked. But it being before Manchester City, listen, for me, Jürgen will talk about one game at a time, but like, if I was in charge of Liverpool Football Club, I would be thinking about Manchester City and not Sparta Prague. And then when you've got it, then what that then means is exactly what you're saying there, is you've just got to go and just put 11 lads out and be in with a shot in the second leg for me, because I think we can do it in the second leg at Anfield no matter what the scoreline is. It is going to be interesting to see, and I do think Jürgen will go stronger than I probably hope he goes,
because he keeps doing that,
because he's consistently done that forever. But yeah, it's just get through it. 0-0 would be ideal. Sneak a 1-0, even better. But just having some players that can play on Sunday is probably the most important thing for me.
Yeah. Are we all going to be massive shitbags on this one? Because I know I Dan's certainly...
not. I'm 100%.
Dan's...
Well, I think we can name a pretty strong 11 without massively impacted on Sunday.
Okay.
That's where I'm pitching this now, because if you look at your drill quantities...
Can I ask, before you get into it, is it something we'd have considered a strong 11 3 weeks ago?
Perhaps not. I think that's a very fair caveat to my point. But I think we can. I spoke to Stephen Manham this morning about this very topic, and I kind of asked him, like, what would you be doing? Would you be rotating your business end now a little bit? Would you be going full strength?
Angling for a free transfer to Real Madrid.
Essentially, yeah, exactly. And he was sort of in the camp with me, I think, in so much as you can get a pretty strong side out there without going gung-ho and want to name our best. I mean, ultimately, the fallback of Anfield we also discussed, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing waiting there regardless of what happens on Thursday. But yeah, I think when you look at, you know, what's in the round, what you'd class as the very frontline first-team squad, now I think you can name a strong team. You've got Joe Gomez, obviously the ultimate versatility man. And listen, people might have him in their team for Sunday in Man City, but I potentially wouldn't, so I think you can use him in midweek. Joel Quansa, likewise, I think, falls into a similar category. Bobby Clark certainly falls into that category as well. So Salah, a lot of this hinges on Salah and his availability, of course, in terms of the front line. But I think you can go strong here and still get away with it falling into the weekend.
There's just something, Chloe, to almost playing the same team again from the weekend. And that way you get more, you don't have to start Szoboszlai, you don't have to start Darwin Núñez, and if Salah's there, you know, maybe you add him on the bench, you can give him a little bit. Whereas, so you've got the ability to win the game if you need to without risking too much in terms of fitness. Or is this just Jadon Dan's FC?
It's Jadon Dan's FC for me, this. I need absolutely everyone rested and ready for Manchester City, to be honest, because Manchester City, it's death of 1,000 passes. Like, and yet we're at Anfield, and yet we can create a special atmosphere, but you're still going to be tortured at some point with Manchester City. It's just, you're going to have to dig deep at some point in that game, and you're going to have to get through, and I need absolutely everyone available for that. I'm absolutely sound with doing what we did, you know, Southampton, where you give Verge the first 45, Canate the second 45, absolutely fine with that. Kostas, lob him back in, sound with me. It's Bradley, and this is the thing. Do I go Joe Gomez right back? What do I do here? Because actually, I'm really liking Joe Gomez at the moment in time, and that City game, if I want to be safe, I am putting him in that squad.
Where
would
you play Joe Gomez?
For City.
Left back.
Would you over Lobo?
He's not in my side for City.
So therefore you can play right back for me on Thursday night because you've got Vitaly Wendo.
Can I give you my side? It feels like a good time.
Just 2 seconds. I just want to quickly just get people to speed with Sparta Prague because I think this is best consideration. Top of the league at the moment, top of the Czech league. They drew with Slavia Prague, who are the other team fighting for the title with them, 0-0 at the weekend. So that does play into our hands a little bit, that at least they'll have gone through an intense encounter before it. But they scored 55 goals. They've only conceded 15 goals in the league this season. So, yeah, I mean, it's too hard to judge. They were still... there's no way of getting around it. It's still a better draw because you're in the Europa League than drawing any of the teams that are probably at this stage of the Champions League, apart from maybe the Portuguese teams, which is bizarre, like a bizarre flip where all the better Portuguese teams are in the Europa League at the moment.
Man City got Copenhagen.
That's, yeah, bit of 50-50, that.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely, I'm not sure we can take our eyes off the prize in terms of going into their ground, a team that's flying top of the league in great form and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, right, Chris Pajak, you have been chomping at the bit to give us your
team. I've gone Kelleher in goal, Gomez right back, Kwanzaa, Canate / Van Dijk, and I've literally written 45 each.
Yeah.
Tim Akash, Macher Endo, 45 minutes each.
Yeah.
Clark McConnell, Gordon / Kumas, take your pick, Dan's Gakpo. Which then leaves me Kelleher, Bradley, Canate, Van Dijk, Robbo, Endo, Elliot, Macher, Salah, Nunes, Diaz for City. And if Sobers like and play instead of Elliot, I'm taking that all day long, and I have put Salah in up front against City.
Okay. Chloe, what is your shitbag team that you're putting out?
I mean, something similar.
James McConnell in the six?
Yeah, probably.
Jaden Dan's up front?
Yeah. Is there Lewis Kumas on
it's
the left?
It's a last 16 round of a European game. What is going on?
Turn in the first half, though.
Don't we, yeah. Yeah, look.
Yeah, but can I just contend, just the other flip side of this? I know we're all lost in the Man City thing. If we get this game won in the first leg, you get to get that back.
Yeah,
that's right. Next week as well, you get to pour it all into Man City and then take a breather afterwards.
I'm just really hoping that with half an hour to go that we can lob on Darwin Nunes, Dominic Szoboszlai and Mo Salah, to be perfectly honest, and say go and win me that tie, please, boys.
I think we've got a lot more trust than the youth players at Liverpool Football Club than you, Paul. Just saying. There. I think they can win it.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying, Paul, that you don't believe in the quality of Jaden Dans and Kate Gordon kicked the ball for us.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
He is a good player.
No, I'm not having it. I've made this mistake on the last 3 weeks. Probably when we have these debates, and then
he's not doing
put,
it.
Yeah, can just put his best possible.
He will. He will do.
We're turning in though, McAllister starting and then getting 45. It's quite good. Like, that's strong now.
Yeah, strong.
I don't think there's any chance Jaden Dans or McConnell start this game.
I think McConnell does. I don't think Dans does.
I think Dans could. I think Dans definitely might, yeah.
What's your team?
My front three would probably be Gakpo, Dans, Elliot.
What?
Yeah.
Your starting front three?
Yeah.
Away from home in Europe?
Yeah.
Just say that again.
Gakpo, Dans, Elliot.
Gakpo,
we can't go Diaz again.
Dans, Harvey, Elliot. But you can go Elliot again.
Yeah. Because I don't think he's going to play on Sunday.
Okay.
Wow. Unless he plays in midfield, if Szoboszlai can't start.
But I think Szoboszlai, there's no, doesn't feel like there's a world where Szoboszlai won't be available.
It depends whether they're ready for that 60 minutes thing, doesn't it? Yeah. And whether you need that ahead of Man City, because Szoboszlai looked miles off.
He needs some minutes.
If we think of what Jürgen's going to do, then rather than what we're going to do, because me and Chloe are putting aside that we would do.
Yeah.
I think Jürgen is going to play Kelleher. I think he'll play Gomez probably at right back. I think he will split time between Van Dijk and Konate. I think Kwanzaa will start. Yeah. I think Tsimikas will start.
Yeah.
I don't think there's... you could debate maybe Bradley for Gomez, but I think that's a fairly safe Jürgen back five.
I think there's something in this of, like, if we treat Jürgen at his word, I'll take him at his word, that he treats one game at a time, Bradley needs a rest. So I agree. I think Gomez starts right back because Bradley just can't go again. And I think you really want Bradley for the Man City game. You really want him for that. So give him some time off and see if he can recuperate. And then who else there of the ones you've gone time and time again? Diaz probably, right, might fall into that. Elliot might fall into that as well. Because the thing is, Elliot, it's all well and good saying he's not going to start against City, but like he's just run for like the last four or five games or whatever. You run the risk of this is the hardest part now. Even though it should be easier because we've got options, it's how do you manage to massage those lads back into the team without breaking the ones who've been holding it all together right at the last the last sort of hurdle. So I do wonder whether someone like Elliot might be the sub here, you know, like give him the last half an hour or whatever of it, because you realize he's not going to start City, but I don't think he will. But he gives you that, he's a good player, isn't he?
If you move on to the midfield, if you follow Jürgen's, quite often they come in for 30, then they do 60, then they do 90. It's quite likely that it could be Endo, Szoboszlai taking 60 minutes, pick another midfielder to go alongside them, probably Bobby Clark.
Yeah.
McAllister comes on as the six and swaps with Endo.
It's whether Szoboszlai can do 60 or he needs another 30 before he can. And then it's McAllister for 60, Szoboszlai for 30.
So if it's, let's say it's Clark who goes again, probably with the view that he comes out against City. Let's say Endo and Szoboszlai can do 60. Yep. Then it's likely that Elliot probably starts on the right. I think you've then maybe got a chance of 60 of Darwin Núñez.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might go Gakpo and push Núñez out to the left to give Diaz a little bit of time off.
It's whether you want Núñez is your trump card a little bit in your X factor from the bench again, and in which case you'd have to go down. Because I don't think Núñez can play 90. Let's put that out. I don't think he's got 90 in him. And if all of a sudden you're saying we've got Darwin Núñez for 60 minutes and you need Dan to score, and I really like Jayden Dan. I thought he was brilliant again the weekend. I said to him this morning, I thought he was brilliant into holding up play and linking things together. Exceptional little cameo once again. But do you want him as your game changer from the bench?
I think if you are Jürgen, though.
Game changer.
I don't think Salah goes to Prague. I don't think he's travelling to Prague.
I think if you are Jürgen, if he can do 60 Darwin, I'm probably taking 60 of Darwin than 30 of Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean, rather than being a game changer, I'd rather try and get the game done, and then hopefully I get to make the decisions based on Manchester City, rather than I'm going a little bit weaker to then have to throw players on. I'd rather, if it was Jürgen, I think he'd probably go 60.
Yeah, and again, just have a look. One thing is quite interesting in this. We played Union Saint-Gilloise. Now, of course, it was a dead rubber by the end, the away game in that one. The starting 11 for that at the time was Kelleher in goal. It was Chambers, Kwanzaa, Konate, Bradley as a back four. Jones, Endo, Elliott was the midfield. And then it was Doak, Gakpo, Gordon. Now, of course, this isn't a dead rubber. This is a competitive game of football in a knockout round. But it's interesting that, you know, he has always rotated in the Europa League, and he will definitely, you know, this is not, the only way you're risking someone like a Salah is if he just feels that he needs minutes. He needs to get something in his legs ahead of City, because we saw this the other week. Yeah. You know, we brought him in off the bench and then he's been out ever since. We don't really know what. I don't think anyone knows how to reintroduce an injured Salah.
He looked fucking shit off, by the way, when he didn't come in.
Yeah, he did.
The thing is, if he doesn't get any minutes at Sparta Prague, I don't think he starts Man City.
No, I agree with that. Yeah, I just don't think he'll.
I think Salah at best, if he doesn't, lobbing him in.
Maybe if he gets half an hour on Thursday, you might look to start him, because it's Salah and he's that good that he's probably not far off. You know.
Yeah, it's difficult. And ultimately, in an ideal world, I tend to agree with you, but I just don't know if he goes to Prague this week.
Dan's thing's interesting because I don't think any one of us would be upset to see him start for Liverpool, but I just wonder whether there's something to, you only get to burst onto the scene once, and he's doing a really good, exciting job of that so far, about whether you're just trying to keep him sort of chomping at the bit, you're trying to hold him back and having him be that impact sub. it disguises any limitation to being 18 when you're coming on the pitch and you just get to run around and
the players are a little bit more tired that you're going up against. Gives you a better platform to build on.
But I'm not against Darwin doing Darwin 45, 55, 60 or whatever, and then Jaden Danz can come on for him. But again, Gakpo's there. And I know we just did a big chunk earlier on the podcast about how he's not quite firing as a number nine, but he's been our main goal threat in the second, you know, like the League Cup, he was the goal threat in that. And if he's definitely, once we've got Diaz, Darwin and Salah available, Gakpo's not starting games of football for us. This might be the last chance to get him in there and see if we can get him a goal or two. Choices though, guys. So many choices. I mean, we had that off the bench against Forest. Me and Steve were doing the watch along going, what does he do when he makes this substitution? And no one had Bradley coming off for him, and then Gomez. Was it Gomez or Robertson? We made a mad substitution that none of us...
Gomez, the right back, wasn't it? Yeah.
Weird.
Endo?
No, it was... What was the one Robertson before that? Came off, he went to left back, then he went to right back.
Was it the Szoboszlai? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was one of them.
Because then Kostas came on, and that's when we switched him to right back.
David Jones, the Sparta Praga, actually a decent team. They beat Galatasaray 4-1 in the second leg of the last round. They're very pacey on counters and compact at the back. These are no walkover. But I mean, I don't mind if they're that team we've played loads of those teams, haven't we, I guess, in some regards. And this is why I just don't think Liverpool, I just think Liverpool needs a box clever here. You know, you don't need to, you either go balls out, let's just attack them, let's go and get this game won in the first half of football and then shut up shop, or you just go, we're fine here, we'll just play our game, we'll be defensively resolute, we're not going to throw the kitchen sink at it, and if it's a tight game, then fine. But you just nullify if their threat pace on the counter, then don't give them that. If we're not, if we're trying to massage our way through to City anyway, would be my overall feeling on that one. Okay, good. The only other note on this is obviously City play Copenhagen midweek, which means they'll have
3-1 up.
Means they'll have a little bit more rest than us ahead of the game, which is another considering factor in this. But it'd be nice if Copenhagen just gave them a bit of a game there. But it is
not holding out hope for
the Etihad, isn't it? Yeah, I wouldn't do too much.
At least they, I think they were always going to beat Manchester United, but at least they had to give it for 90 minutes to do it.
That's just fucking wonderfully dismissive. And they were always going to beat Man United, because just to reiterate, Manchester United are shite. Yeah. That's basically what you
Gary
said.
Gary Neville said 2 weeks ago now that they're getting top four. I've not heard from him since, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, they're garbage. City. Anyway,
you can't have been talking about United.
We're going to talk about how garbage Manchester United are over on the Bias Football Podcast, the sister podcast of this one that we do pretty much straight afterwards live on redmenplus.com. Do take advantage of the Nunes code for 99p and get that podcast worth 99p on its own. That podcast, it's our second best podcast, I think, after this one.
I adore speaking about how shit Manchester United are on a weekly basis, and you will enjoy listening to it.
Me and my dad went to do the League Cup thing before, and I said that to him. It's my second favourite football topic after Liverpool, is just discussing the problems at Manchester United. So it's basically a large show, a bit about that, or largely about that, and then a bit about Man City and a few other things happen around the Premier League. A bit more of a focus on the Europa League fixtures as well. So come and join us over on redmenplus.com for that one.
Before we wrap it up, though, can we maybe just give a little bit of airtime to Arsenal or Manchester City win late in a game? It's championship winning form. But if Liverpool win late in the game, it's the referee,
it's corruption.
It's a fucking script, and it's corruption. Fucking everything else.
Yeah. It's wishful thinking, is what it is. They'd love it to be someone else. They want to pin the blame on something instead of us just being good. All the best. Thank you so much for
title winning form.
Absolutely. Watching and listening to the podcast this week. Leave a 5-star review on podcast and apps, and we'll see you with another one next week.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.